Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show on KSL Sports. I'm Andy Munoz, joined today by Alex Napolis and Joshua Clark. What's up, everybody? Alex, I want to hear from you. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. A lot of stuff happening around the sporty world, and, you know, just trying to keep up with everything. But other than that, doing pretty good, man.
Very cool. We actually might hear from you on the Royal side, too. It sounds like you're doing...
That is right. Yeah, that is right. Anytime you're driving over to America First Field and heading out to a Royals game, you're tuned into the Zone, 97.5 or 1280. And
being the mouthpiece of the Royals, huh?
No, just the pre.
No. We're the mouthpiece, remember? They direct everything we say.
You're very ingrained in the women's soccer, so congrats on that, dude. That's a really cool opportunity. Hope to see more of that. Josh, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good, man. You know? I woke up, so just kidding. We're not that old. But no, I'm good. You know, just enjoying the nice spring weather.
Yeah.
The fun news about another sports team. I think we should talk about that a little bit. That's actually getting me pretty pumped. Cool. What about you, Andy? How are you?
I'm good, man. The wheels are spinning. I'm always like looking for the next opportunity and being creative or like using that skill set to either like make more money or find like the next creative endeavor. So I've just been, you know, just brainstorming, dude, just trying to see the next big move that I can make. But hockey officially coming. Did some research on it. Sounds like it was poorly mismanaged. Sounds like there wasn't a lot of attendance. It sounds like a lot of the fans actually despised the ownership and blamed the ownership for the move. But Ryan Smith making some really cool moves, bringing NHL to the state of Utah. I'm pretty pumped. I love watching hockey from time to time, but this gives me an opportunity to become a hardcore fan. And there's a lot of, you know, KSL is putting out even on the reels, like, what can the name be? There's a lot of debate online what the names should be. So real quick, are you guys excited? And if you have a name in mind, what should the NHL team be called in Utah?
I'm super pumped. Hockey's been my number two sport for a long time. It's going to be weird not rooting for my NHL team that I've loved since 95 or so, but can't wait to watch it. Can't wait to listen to some podcasts about it. So stoked.
What about some names?
Anything with a lot of Z's, you know, that's the Utah way. I kind of would love to see like an Old West kind of name, like Bandits or Outlaws or something weird like that, just because I think that could make some cool hockey imagery.
What about you, Alex? You stoked for hockey? And if so, what do you think the team should be called?
I think it's fantastic for the culture. Sports has really grown in the last couple of years here in Utah, and I think this is just going to make the sports landscape grow even more. It's good for the culture, good for Utah. And I really like Yeti. I don't know if they're going to go for Yeti.
Even though it's like Austin FC's shirt sponsor?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
My biggest gripe with it is that the Avalanche, it's been my favorite team for all these years, right? They have like a big foot paw on their shoulder. It's kind of similar. Isn't it kind of weird to have two teams so close to each other with the same kind of imagery?
Is the Yeti actually tied to any type of Utah culture?
Bigfoot is, and it's a Yeti.
It's like loose because Bigfoot's like Oregon, dude. Come on.
Bigfoot's everywhere, bro.
Everywhere. They see him everywhere.
Interdimensional beings, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah.
The one that I saw that I really love, and maybe this is unpopular and I'll probably get crap for it, but I love the Cutthroats, dude.
The Cutthroats is cool. I love the little fish logo.
The little fish logo that I retweeted, money, dude. The color scheme, everything. Like when you think of the mountains here, I would almost put fishing above a Yeti, bro. Like I've never not once have I gone camping and ever thought of a Bigfoot or a Yeti or anything like that here in Utah. I think Cutthroats is cool. I'm trying to think of, there was like, some people were saying Golden Eagles, like that used to be, I can't remember exactly what team it was.
It was before the Grizzlies.
Okay, very cool. I like that. I think that's cool. Yeah, overall, I think it's just a really cool opportunity to go see more sports in Utah. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions and stereotypes is that Utah people don't care about sports or that we don't deserve sports. And so I think taking that into account, I think that Utah is going to show up heavy for this NHL team because we want to prove to other markets that this can be a successful state for, obviously, for hockey. It's been successful for Real Salt Lake. Obviously, the Jazz do very well. And we want to prove that we're good enough for MLB or even NFL. It's always been a debate.
It's crazy that like that's still even a debate because it's not like we've ever showed poor attendance in college games in any of the professional sports. Like the problem is it's just a small market. None of the writers on the East Coast pay attention because they're in bed by the time we play any games, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's definitely an underrated sports state.
And then you got plenty of people who, you know, will show up to a noon BYU kickoff or a noon Utah kickoff and then find themselves at America First Field at 7:30 for an RSL kickoff. They'll do the double duty. Like I said, it's good for the culture. People embrace it. And I think people are really going to embrace this NHL team.
No, man, I'm super stoked. But yeah, I think they need a rebrand because Coyote, it's got that very
The Coyote's name and like logo trademark stayed with the old ownership group. So it has to be rebranded completely.
Cool. Yep. I'm all about that because I think it's a great name and I think it's a great logo. But it's very in like that Arizona culture of like the patterns and like, you know, like just everything that has to do with that area. So I'm really happy that it'll get a rebrand. But if it's anything like the highlighter yellow jerseys we got from Ryan Smith, then just throw it away. Bag it up. Oh,
I've also heard that they're already going to be rebranding that. So,
yeah, that's great, though. Ryan Smith, I think he's a very involved owner. He's a very involved I guess you could say creative, and yeah, he takes that feedback very well.
Exactly. If people don't like it, he's not going to be the no, it's my thing and we're keeping it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're going to own the highlighter yellow, right?
Yeah. We're going to own the crap.
Ryan Smith is for the people.
For the
speaking people. Of crap, RSL.
What a segue. That was a tough one, man. Tough game to watch.
It was a horrible match to watch.
It was one of the first matches that Isaac was able to get out and go shoot sideline, and he was excited
to shoot.
And there were no highlights, so just his luck. But yeah, I want to get your guys' thoughts. What did you guys think of the match? The turnout from Real Salt Lake, was it what we expected? I know Josh, you had mentioned on the last show that you felt like there was a loss in this one. So at some point, I want your feelings on the draw as well. But Alex, give it to us, bro. What did you see? What did you dislike? What were your thoughts?
It was, to me, honestly, I think what was really, really lacking in this game was just the finishing. I thought there was a lot of facets of the game where RSL played well against a tired Columbus B team. But for some reason, we just could not find the back of the net. There was two really, really good and really big opportunities, specifically in the first half, where Matt Crooks bangs one off the post. And then Andres Gomez had a sitter who just kind of whiffed at the ball, missed the ball, and couldn't redirect it on the frame. And I think one of the bigger losses was the fact that Evan Bush went out injured. They had to sub out their goalkeeper. Their third choice was in for a majority of the game, and we couldn't test them. The only big opportunity that I could think of that really tested their third string goalkeeper was a shot from Fidel Barajas late in the second half, but really RSL failed to test a third string keeper.
Yeah, I mean, there were plenty of opportunities and plenty of saves he made, but they were all very routine saves. And, you know, when you have a third string goalkeeper and you have to punish him, but I feel like any time a goalkeeper has come on or a second string keeper has played against RSL at the Riot, they have the game of their lives.
It's absolutely true, man.
It's so frustrating. But yeah, to not put one past him is so frustrating because, yes, the chances were there for RSL. Yes, we played a pretty clean game. But, I mean, Columbus's B team didn't look bad. So, I don't know. To not score in that game, it's criminal, man. I was a little worried it was going to be a trap game just because of the factors coming into it. And it almost was.
Give credit where credit is due. I thought Zach McMath had a couple of really good saves and did really well. I thought defensively Arcel did pretty good to hold this Columbus Crew team to a clean sheet, but at the end of the day, it felt, with the opportunities that Arcel had, it felt like this should have been a game where you walk out with 3 points.
Yeah, and there were a lot of other irritating things too, like, you know, I was not too pleased with the referee this match. I thought he was trying really hard to make the game choppy, right? That you couldn't get any flow in this game on either side. I do think it went a little heavy against RSL at times, but man, the amount of yellow cards and whistles that guy was blowing took all the air right out of the flow of the game.
Well, and then I just remember watching that second half, and it felt like we were just stopping every 5 minutes for one thing or another, whether it was a foul, whether it was a yellow card. And when you're trying to get into a flow of a game, when you're trying to go forward with some opportunities, and you're just stopping every 5 minutes to wait for a whistle, wait for a foul, wait for a yellow card, it just kills momentum for both sides equally. And I feel like we saw a lot of that in that second half. It was just a long and grueling second half.
Well, and then not only that, but then as soon as, you know, every player on both teams on a yellow, right, you stop playing as hard, or, you know, maybe not making the tackles you should make because you're afraid he's going to send you off. And then you have players like Aiden Morris, who asked for a sub 2 or 3 times because he was quote-unquote injured, right? That kid was on the ground more than anyone that game. So to have him continuously being on the ground, needing treatment, getting a whistle, and then getting up and being fine, it's like, okay, you can't see that he's playing you now, right? So I don't know. That's what really took the air out of the game for me. That and Gomez missing the sitter were just the two things that were just so frustrating about this match.
In most cases, I want to say it's a lot easier said than done, but that's as easy as it gets.
Right. Really. And let's remember, easier said than done, but you are still a professional soccer player making a grip of money. You should be able to redirect the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yes, I've made that argument for players before, but this one was, come on, man. And then you have Julio being offside yet again.
And that penalty, it was soft, but I absolutely would have taken it in that situation, because at that point you're what, 89th minute. It's still 0-0. We can't find the back of the net. And it seemed like if we would have gotten that penalty, Chicho would have stepped up, done what Chicho does, and we would have walked out with 3 points. Give me that soft penalty all day.
Anderson Julio has been a hero time and time again for RSL, but if half these times that he's been offside, he wasn't offside and made something of it, he'd be even a bigger legend at this point. So it's like you're only hurting yourself now. I mean, as well as the team, but man, let's figure it out. But I'm going to bring up a bigger concern now. Does Chicho look tired to you guys?
I think by like the 80th minute, and you give him, I got to give him credit because he's still out there and he's still trying, but he's visibly a step behind at that point. Yep. Because he did seem to run out of gas a little bit towards the end of that Columbus game.
But I mean, do you blame him? I mean, he's gone 90 every week.
I'm pretty sure he's yet to be subbed off this season.
Which is a problem, right? Like, you can't expect him to go every season a full 90 and, like, still be productive.
Definitely not, but I think, too, with the type of person that Arango is, it makes me wonder if that's an Arango decision or if that's a Pablo decision, because I know Chicho Arango is the type of guy who wants to be out there for every last second on that pitch. Because sure. if there's even a chance to get the 3 points, he wants to be there to be the one to make that chance. So I wonder if that's a Chicho decision or if that's a coaching decision.
But also you look at the bench and who would even come on for him, right? And that's the concern. Who would even come on for him?
The logical answer is Julio, but at that point he's already in the match.
Right. So Chang, you know, like that's, again, bringing up depth again. This is really my concern. And now that we're seeing Chicho get tired, it just worries me, man. Just worries me.
Even today, Caleb Turner tweeting and sharing that Pablo had to come in during training and essentially practice with the team, assist on the defense. And so what does that say about the depth and where we are as a club right now?
It is concerning due to the fact that we've already talked about Marcelo potentially being out for a whole season or for the rest of the season. Eric Holt sidelined for the next 6 weeks or so. And so there is nobody there. There is nobody there to fill in for that position, especially because Delance Pierre and Kevin Lambert were shipped off before the season even started.
And Orozco's still on loan.
And Orozco's still on loan. So you have.
So at what point do we recall one of these guys?
Not even that, but like, is there no faith in a guy like Zach Farnsworth, who's been on the roster for how many years now, who is playing with the Monarchs at the moment? Is there no faith in to have him come in and just play there and train there with the team to maybe get an opportunity? Is there no faith in Keller Storley to jump up and play there? That's my take. That's
clearly my take not. On it. And with Farnsworth, you can kind of get it because he's been injured for the entire time he's been on the roster. So maybe they're worried throwing him in too fast, but like at least for training, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly. Farnsworth has been on the roster since what? 19?
Maybe 20? Sooner. I couldn't even tell you because he's never played. So I've kind of forgotten about him.
maybe 21 at latest, but still, like it seems like that's an opportunity for a guy like him to be in trainings with the first team and getting those reps, getting those opportunities. But instead, it's Mastroianni who has to jump in there and do that.
It's definitely a concern. Like, why aren't we giving the young guys a chance to step up and at least train? I mean, maybe Pablo's just really hoping he doesn't have to sub any of them out, and that's just what we're going with.
Can you imagine if Pablo Mastroianni starts on Saturday?
Signs a one-day contract.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, truly, truly think about this. If Glad or Vera goes down within the next couple of weeks, you're down to just one center back.
Who's a left back?
What do you do at that point? Does Bodie Hidalgo come in and play centrally? Does, you know, Emeka Nelly come in and play centrally? Like,
is Nick Beasler available? You know,
you hold Chris some Winger. Open tryouts at America First Field.
I'm curious to see what happens. I'm very curious because that could really derail a season.
It's hard to believe with the amount of optimism. I think it was just a few episodes ago, Josh, that I promised that we would hold an MLS trophy by the end of the season. It's really tough to hold optimistic, but let's see what Alex has to say. Go ahead. Did I jinx it?
That optimism is still there.
Yes.
Even with the depth issues that we could be looking at, that optimism is still there because, like I said, there were still a lot of facets of the game on Saturday where RSL played really well. You got to give all the flowers and all the props to Emeka Nelly, who is being compared to the likes of Ozzie Alonso, Diego Chara, and who's the other guy?
Can we stop?
Darlington Nagbe.
Can we stop? Who's saying that? Is that
National
MLS writers?
Okay, because I feel like that the only place I've seen it confirmed with my own eyes is from Trey Fitzgerald.
No, MLS writers are saying it.
Got it.
Okay. He got it from the MLS writers.
Okay. All right. Are we sure he didn't feed that to the MLS writers?
it's possible.
Matt Doyle's not going to say that without.
Okay.
Without actually believing it. Yeah. I agree. You got to give the flowers. You got to give the props to Emeka and Ellie. You have to praise Brian Ojeda, who has been so underrated this season. Bodie Hidalgo, even though hasn't really played much of a role, I think because of the depth issues in recent games, he's still having a fantastic season. There's still a lot, so many positives to find within this group that I think if we just continue to ride that build off of it, RSL still has a chance to do something special this season. You look at kind of where this team was last season compared to where it is now. At this point last season, we were in 12th place with 8 points, and we were talking about firing Pablo Mastroianni. Fast forward a year later, we're doing all right. We're 3 points off of first place, and I take that as a win.
Yeah, no, it's if we can sustain, we're going to have a great year, right? Barring those injuries and barring, you know, reinforcements not showing up this summer, I still think we're going to end up in the playoffs, not in the last seed.
I haven't looked at the standings. Who's in number one? Is it Vancouver still?
Galaxy, it's bro.
The Galaxy.
Oh, wow. The Galaxy, what?
They're back. You know, weird.
Chicharito goes away, and look what happens.
You got Ricky Puig just lighting it up, huh? Assists.
And Pantsil, bro. Yeah. Jonathan Pantsil.
Great signing.
Wow, let's just cover that real quick. You got LA 15 points, first place. Vancouver in second place.
Well earned.
And you've got Houston in second place. Or, excuse me, third place. Well, they're tied. 13 points. I think it's just what? Goal differential? That is, yeah, goal differential. So Vancouver 6 to Houston 2s. And then we got RSL sitting in fourth place. Like you said, we're just a win away and a couple results away going in our favor to sitting in first, which is ridiculous. It's actually good. You're right.
I will say it did suck because with the win this weekend, we would have had that shot at that first place spot. That part stings, but to just be 3 points off of first place, it makes me feel good.
So 3 points up and then just two, assuming we would have gotten like one or two goals, then yeah, we would have been really, really close.
Or just not losing to Colorado last minute.
That too.
That's going to be a big one. It's always those small results, those small teams that will come and bite you in the butt, unfortunately. Josh, to kind of hit on your analysis of Chicho being on the pitch for too long and maybe subbing him off when he's tired or not having him go like that full 90, what would be your guys' plan or what would the rotation look like to make sure that we're keeping Chicho healthy and then making sure that we're maximizing the most that we can per match out of him?
Honestly, I don't know because we don't have any strikers that have been on the bench. So I don't even know who they think could come in and play 20 minutes a night. Obviously, Crooks isn't going a full 90 either because that's who Julio's been coming in for. So maybe, I guess, Luna could stay on longer, move into Crooks' position. Julio could start a game. I don't love that either. I don't know. There's not a lot you can do right now because there's not a clear backup for Chicho.
Well, I think it starts with that. I think it starts with maybe leaving or subbing someone off, bringing someone on differently than Julio for Crooks.
Right.
Instead of trying to play that 4-4-2 late in a game, maybe switch over Luna, like you mentioned, or even have Fidel try it out. I thought Fidel against Vancouver played in that spot very, very well. He obviously got the assists in that one. So give Fidel some opportunities. And if we really, really have to sub up Chicho, I thought this past game would have been a good opportunity to just bring in Gozo off the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Gozo could definitely start seeing some minutes. I would really like that this year. But it seems clear at this point that Pablo kind of has his substitution pattern.
Yeah.
It's pretty like for like every game. So that habit might need to be broken a little bit.
There's been some criticism, I think, internally and then also externally from people outside of the podcast fans. Diego Luna, what is going on with Diego right now? Is he slowing down a little bit? Is he a little bit absent? What are your guys' assessments on Diego?
I think Diego is exactly where we need Diego to be. Would we all like to see more assists and goals? Yes. But what you can't forget is that Diego Luna, being on the field, is still drawing a lot of attention and drawing it away from Chicho, Crooks, Gomez, right?
Yeah.
As soon as one of those guys starts to heat up a little bit, the attention will come off Luna a little bit, and then he will have more freedom. It's just kind of a side effect of being one of the better players on the field. Teams are trying to get him out of the game, but he's still extremely productive. I don't think there's anything wrong with Diego Luna. In fact, I wish he would have stayed on the pitch and Gomez would have come out against Columbus. I think that would have made more sense, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, no, Diego's fine. I don't think there's any cause for alarm at this point.
He is fine. And I do believe that teams are doing a really good job of taking him out of games, which is why we're seeing the lack of production, why we're not seeing. I wouldn't even say it's really a lack of production, because even when he does find a little bit of room, he does make stuff happen. And teams have done a good job of taking him out of games. But I think Luna will be back to Luna once he really, really figures out how him and Crooks belong on the pitch together.
Yeah, that's the other big one, is I don't think they've figured each other out
yet. Yes, absolutely. And we saw a lot of it against Minnesota. We continue to see it against Columbus. And a lot of people are going after Luna and a lot of people are going after Crooks for it. But I don't think I just think it needs to come down to them figuring out what their relationship is going to be on the when they're on the field together. And once that's figured out, not only do I think that'll open the floodgates for Luna, that's going to open the floodgates for Matty Crooks as well.
I just sent you guys a photo of Diego Luna essentially being like triple marked.
Yeah. Dude, this is such a good photo.
And I will say that that photo is an exact example of what we're talking about. You got three guys on Diego Luna at all times. They're taking him out of games. And that picture, not only is it a great photo, but it's a perfect example as to why Luna is quote unquote struggling at the moment, is because you have plays like that where you're just getting taken defensively by three guys.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do in that situation? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great example, Andy. Good, good shout there.
It's an excellent photo, man. He's on the ball and he's trying to create space, and there's literally three crew defenders all around him. That could be a painting in like a museum someday. One last thing.
It could be.
Josh and Alex, okay, on the frustration scale, just tell me this last match, the results, everything, on a frustration scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you want to walk out of the stadium and go watch a movie and forget all about it. Where would you rank this last match?
While I was there, I'd probably put it like a 5, just like, you know, just frustrated at the game, mostly at the referee, to be honest. And then, you know, some of those chances that were not converted, but I hate complaining about referees, but when the game doesn't get to be the game, it's so hard to watch. If I had taken someone like a friend that, you know, hates soccer and I'm trying to convert him, that is not the game to bring him to.
Worst games. Yeah. Worst games.
I think for me, I'd probably say in about that 6 range as well, 5-6 range. Just again, because at the end of the day, like, this was a depleted B-side Columbus Crew that we probably should have beat. And I think at the end of the day, you lose some points there.
Real Salt Lake set to hit the road against Chicago Fire. Doesn't look like Chicago is doing too well at the moment. So we'll keep it brief. Do we expect a somewhat stacked roster for this one?
Yeah, I feel good about Chicago. Playing at Soldier Field is weird to me. Chicago is a weird team to me. It's one of the funner away games I've been to due to the city, but the fans, man, they're kind of weak. Team's kind of weak. So, yeah, we should get some points out of this one.
Chicago has been historically just one of those teams in the league that just are there. They don't really compete for much. They haven't really done much in the last couple years. But I think of all the years past, this is probably the best Chicago side that we've seen in a while. Which doesn't say much because they've only won 2 games so far this season.
Yeah.
It's an away game. I don't expect RSL to make any changes in that starting 11. If we come out and play anywhere near the way we played against St. Louis or majority of that Columbus game, I do think Real Salt Lake can find those 3 points at Soldier Field.
Thank you so much for listening to the RSL show on KSL Sports. We pump out brand new episodes covering Real Salt Lake every single week. Make sure to keep it here for the best Real Salt Lake news. And if you're looking for the best breakfast spot in Salt Lake City, hit up our official sponsor, The Park Cafe.